mean, is this country of 350 million people only capable of being governed by two families in this whole country?
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we are sitting down with Gary Johnson. He was the 2012 Libertarian Party candidate for President of the United States. He's a two-term former governor of New Mexico as a Republican, and he's now heading up a pot company called Cannabis Sativa. Gary, thanks for talking to us.
Nick, great being here. Thank you.
Let's talk about Cannabis Sativa.
Yeah, very exciting. Publicly traded. We're publicly traded.
And the stock symbol is?
CBDS. Okay. We're at about a 12-month low on the stock, but I understand that. We're a startup. And the idea is we intend to brand the best marijuana products in the world under the trademark HI. Small H, small I. We've trademarked that.
Okay.
We think we're going to do $1 billion in swag sales eventually,
yeah,
because you're going to put our sticker on the side of your car because it's HI, and it really says it all.
Because that way the police can pull me over more quickly?
That'll be the downside of potentially putting a high sticker on your
car.
Let's
talk about the market of you know, legal pot. I mean, at this point, recreational pot is legal in three states.
In four states.
Four states.
Four states,
okay.
And the District of Columbia. It's legal in 24 states medicinally.
Right.
The biggest obstacle when it comes to the marijuana industry right now is in those 24 states and those four states recreationally, every product manufactured in those states has to be grown, processed, and packaged in those individual states. That is not the best scenario for the consumer.
And that's because the federal law, it's still
illegal,
and so you can't cross state lines.
Exactly. So you can't cross state lines with any of these products, and that ends up, like I say, to be, at this point, the biggest obstacle.
I guess Ohio has a pot legalization initiative in the fall of this year. California is going to be having it on the ballot. When do you think enough states will have gone to recreational pot legalization where the feds will either actually make their stand or just be like, okay, it's over?
Well, so here's my crystal ball. My crystal ball is, first of all, I think we've reached the tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the walls, it's falling.
Yeah.
But when it actually crashes, my prediction is 2016, California at the ballot box makes recreational sales legally. And then I believe that overnight, 20 states overnight will legislate it and governors will sign it. And that will genuinely be the, the wall will hit the ground.
So in terms of certifying or trademarking pot, what do you think customers are looking for in this type of stuff?
Well, right now, more than anything, people are just looking to buy the products and get high. I mean, that's really what they're looking for. But when you look forward, I mean, what people really want is Coca-Cola. The Coca-Cola tastes the same here because it's the same ingredients here as it is in Thailand. McDonald's, you know, hey, when McDonald's started out, you have to believe that the French fries maybe didn't taste the same from one state to another because they hadn't standardized it. But this is going to be the evolution of the industry, and the evolution of the industry is going to be these quality products that really genuinely you're going to know the contents and you're going to be assured of that consistency and
then
safety.
Then this is blending into also a kind of a moment where everything is artisanal, or, you know, I think about when you go into a wine shop or a cheese shop, you have people there who will say, okay, well, this is from this area and it has these qualities. You know, the alcohol content, the pot potency, the THC potency, will your products or your trademarks will cover all of that sorts of stuff?
All of that sort of stuff. And you draw a great analogy. I mean, one pot crop, even though it's the same strain from one year to the next, just like wine, ends up to be different products. We want to be consistently, we want to be the Dom Perignon.
And I'm thinking about this as somebody who grew up in the 70s and 80s, where you never knew what you were smoking. You had no idea.
Exactly.
You know, that whether it was like, you know, kitty litter or, you know, parsley mixed with this and that and oregano. How long will it take to generate the information that people want or that they don't even know that they want yet?
Well, right now, for example, most people don't know that there are two kinds of pot. Sativa, which is clean your house marijuana with a smile on your face, or indica, which is go to sleep marijuana. When you look at the prohibition model that we have right now, everything that we've consumed in our lives has really been a combination of the two. Now, with legalization, you can separate this and you can get refined highs that end up competing against illegal drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really, and I've always...
As well as legal ones, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I've always maintained that marijuana is much safer than alcohol. Mm-hmm. Another big issue is impairment. That first of all, we need to establish impairment levels. In Washington and Colorado State, 5 nanograms is considered DUI. I'm going to butcher his name. Ross Rigoboldi, Canadian snowboarder, wins the gold medal in a snowboard. Vancouver tests at 15 nanograms after his gold medal run. Are we saying that you can win a gold medal at triple the DUI level existing in Colorado and Washington State? Big issue.
Yeah.
I don't know what the impairment level is, but I'm going to guess that maybe on the nanogram level, maybe it's 90 nanograms, but it's certainly not 5.
Yeah. So what kind of interactions are you having from legal high companies, meaning like, you know, Anheuser-Busch, Coors? Are they kind of like, you know, you guys, this is, it's totally different, you know, and like you're a problem, or are they getting on board?
What I said for years was people would come up to me and say, I hope marijuana gets legalized because then I'm going to get in the marijuana business and I'm going to make a fortune. And everybody can make a fortune in marijuana because everybody smoked marijuana. That's the expertise that everybody has, and they know that given that expertise, they can make money.
Sure.
But I've always said, you're not going to compete against R.J. Reynolds. You're just not going to compete against the companies that are, in fact, going to enter in this space. Well, come to find out, none of those companies, none of those big companies have entered into this at all. Zero. They haven't dipped their toe in it. But what they're going to do is they're going to buy the top. They're going to come in and they're going to buy what is established as the best, and they're going to spend billions of dollars in doing that. Right. But that point is still many years away.
And you're not seeing any negative effects from kind of the alcohol beverage community of like pushing back against
not at this,
demon.
Not at this
they've
point.
Given up that ghost.
Well, I think they've given up that ghost, and yet it is very real. I mean, there are people that are going to prefer marijuana over alcohol, and like I say, that is personally... there's something wrong with alcohol, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana, you know, anything in excess it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Anything in moderation, you know, it certainly works.
Are you guys developing products, I mean, in terms of smokables, vapors, and edibles?
For the most part, we're doing the edible side of this. And interestingly, in Colorado, sales of recreational marijuana, it's about 70% edible, 30% smoke. Mm. When Colorado started out as a medicinal state, it started out at about 65 smoke, 35 edible. Yeah. And now on the medical side in Colorado, edible has now surpassed smoke.
Yeah.
So that's the future.
Well, let's talk about Our America Initiative. That's the nonprofit that you run where you raise topics for discussion. How are you doing with that, and what are your main interests these days?
Well, the main interest is providing a voice that's not being mm-hmm. stated out there. I mean, I'm often asked, what are your differences with Rand Paul?
Mm-hmm.
My only differences, drug policy, marriage equality, military intervention, wonderful words, but of course, you know, he's going to add to military spending. Immigration, he wants to build a fence across the wall, and abortion. Other than those 5 topics, I think Rand Paul and I are probably on target, but those are not small, minor issues.
Yeah. So is that what Our America is talking about, those types of issues?
Well, all those issues reflect, I think that what's coming out of my mouth is reflective of most Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking with a broad brushstroke, nobody is a fiscal conservative and a flaming social liberal.
Right.
I am, and I'm that voice, and I know, and I think the majority of Americans fall in that category.
So are you going to run for Libertarian
president?
I hope so. Yeah. What has to happen to coax you?
Well, maybe it's something unforeseen that prevents it from happening. Mm-hmm. But at this point, it is something that I would like to do. I'm not announcing because I just think there are more downsides than upsides mm-hmm. to announcing at this point. And look, I don't have any delusions about the process. during the four years that I spent trying to become President of the United States in the last cycle, in retrospect, 90% of the time I spent doing that ended up to be wasted time. Mm-hmm. Nick, right now, I'm not repeating any of the 90% expecting mm-hmm. different results. I'm looking at the 10%. I know what works, and it's a whole different... my anxiety level is greatly diminished.
Talk a little bit about your migration from the Republican Party to the Libertarian Party, because you were a popular two-term governor of New Mexico, elected both times, and you were not a lifelong politician. But, you know, why did you leave the Republican Party? And you ran originally for president. You tried to get the Republican nomination.
Well, the Republican Party left me, left me flapping in the wind. The media was saying that to be in the debates, that you had to be at 2%, and then they would list four polls where you would have to be at 2%. Well, Nick, I would have only been in one of those four polls or none of those four polls. I wouldn't have even been listed. And presented this to the Republican Party that, you know what, the Republican Party here is being manipulated in ways right. that really go unnoticed by everyone. You need to stand up for fairness, not necessarily for me, but just for fairness. And they turned my back on that. I do believe that I am representative of Republican thought, but the conspiracy out there is not letting Gary Johnson on stage. The conspiracy out there is promoting candidates like Donald Trump right. that the world ends up looking. CNN, I saw the other day, CNN, the head of CNN says, we're not going to give Donald Trump any time whatsoever. Cameras off. We want to give him as much time as we possibly can because the world's going to look at this as just being kooky. And whoever the eventual yeah. nominee is will be painted because of Donald Trump right. in that same light. Michelle Bachmann, Rick Santorum in 2012, same thing.
Talk about Trump. Do you think that Trump represents anything legitimate in the Republican Party or among the American polity?
Well,
he is now number two in some Republican
Party. He is appealing to a segment that I'll just label racist, and it exists, and it's out there. And you know what? I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. It embarrasses me. And like I say, I think that the electorate will paint the entire Republican Party with a broad brush as a result of Trump, and it won't be a positive.
And because he's deported the Mexicans, they'll have to paint their own fence.
Gee, and right? he employs tens of thousands of people, and he's in the service industry. How many of those are immigrants? How many of those? I don't get why any of them remain around.
Talk a little bit about immigration, because I know it's a big topic for our America, and it's a real hot button issue in American politics. What inflames people? And you were the governor of a border state.
Well, what inflames people is the notion that somehow they're coming over the border illegally and they're mm-hmm. siphoning off or living off our welfare system. Well, that's a fallacy. I mean, it sounds logical, actually. Yeah. There's a logic to it, but it's not the reality. These are cream-of-the-crop workers that are coming over from Mexico, and when you've got all of the Republican candidates talking about building a fence across the border, that is just wacko. We should make it as easy as possible for somebody that wants to come across the border to work, to get a work visa. Mm. Abolish income tax, abolish corporate tax, eliminate the IRS, and you know what? We're going to need tens of millions of immigrants to fill the jobs that will exist in this country as a result of zero corporate tax.
What do you do if you, about the illegal immigrant who had been found guilty of various crimes and then committed a murder? Because this now, right after Trump talked about how, all these bad Mexicans come across, then you have that. Why is that not a legitimate rejoinder to an open borders argument?
It is a legitimate resounder, but statistically, immigrants, both illegal and legal, are much more law-observing than U.S. citizens. That's statistical. Now, within that realm, of course, you have those instances, but the overall statistic, much, much less. As governor of New Mexico, I saw a lot of immigrants that were going to be deported because they had committed crimes. I will tell you that any prior violent crime I allowed that deportation to take place, including DUI, because I didn't want to see an immigrant who had been arrested for DUI and had previous arrest for DUI at some point killing someone in the future. Outside of that, I didn't allow any of these deportations to occur.
Hillary Clinton seems to have almost a clear path, not quite, but almost a clear path to the Democratic nomination. Would she be a good president by your account?
Well, it's going to be a continuation of the status quo. I mean, to me, Republicans, Democrats, Tweedledee, Tweedledum. Mm-hmm. Jeb Bush, you know, just yesterday I saw where he'd raised $117 million. I mean, is this country of 350 million people only capable of being governed by two families in this whole country? The biggest factor in politics is name familiarity, and that's the phenomenon that exists right now. Jeb Bush is going to end up being the nominee.
Substantively, what's your beef with Hillary?
Substantively, that really it's much to do about nothing, that it is status quo, that it's genuinely not anything different. It's holding the office, as is the case with most politicians, it's holding the office as opposed to actually doing something while you're in office.
If you were to become president, what would be the first two or three things that you would do?
Well, I think the biggest threat to our way of life, I believe, is the fact that we need to balance the federal budget, that we cannot continue to spend more money than what we take in, and that at some point this will result in a monetary collapse. And that is not going to be a pretty scene. It's going to be ugly.
So you've got balancing the budget at the top of the list. What else?
Well, when you talk about balancing the budget, that's really encompassing. I mean, you talk about what else? Well, that's reform to Medicaid. That's reform to Medicare. That's cutting military spending. You can't balance the federal budget unless you deal with those three issues.
Are you optimistic about America's future and the planet's future, or are you pessimistic?
I am absolutely optimistic, or I wouldn't be in this, but it's so disheartening that we're going to have a Bush in the White House, or we're going to have a Clinton in the White House. What is there to believe that anything changes and that the number one problem facing the country gets addressed? No, there's none. There's none.
And yet you remain optimistic.
Well, I do. I mean, I'm an optimistic human being, and that's just who I am. I mean, I can't deny my identity.
And you're the CEO of a cannabis company.
So I mean, how irreverent can you possibly be? Talk about a dream job. I mean, really.
All right. Well, we will leave it there. We are talking with Gary Johnson. He's the CEO of Cannabis Sativa, a legal pot company. He's also the head of the Our America Initiative, which raises all sorts of issues from different and libertarian points of view. And he may well be throwing his hat into the presidential campaign for 2016.
Now, just as an end to this, also, you're showing a bit of irreverence, aren't you, by not wearing your leather jacket?
Irreverence all the way around.
I didn't think it ever came off.
Well, maybe it's on. It's just not visible. Let's put it that way.